good songs about the blood of Jesus. You know, there's power in the blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's deliverance in the blood. There's salvation, a cleansing that comes from the blood. We have powerful weapons in our arsenal as Christians. We have the Word of God. We have the name of Jesus. And we have the blood. Those are the most three powerful weapons that you and I have. And I want to specifically spend some time on the blood of Jesus. And I believe, again, every time we teach this, we can dig into the Scripture and we can get some revelation from it. Faith comes only one way, and that's by hearing the Word of God. So every time I can feed your faith, you can become stronger in these areas. And the blood of Jesus is a powerful thing. It's a powerful subject. It's something that you need to have in operation in your life. And you're going to have to appropriate it by faith. Let's go over and let's just kind of build on it and go as far as we can in the time we have tonight. 1 John, let's go over there. Some of these scriptures are some of our favorite scriptures. And I can't read them all, but I'll read some because I want to build a little foundation. Again, keep in mind that we always have new people coming on. And a lot of times, you know, we just want to keep going on and on and on and on, upward, 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 but we also have to be able to take the others with us because we don't want anybody to get lost on the journey. Amen. Amen. You've been saved, so you're not lost anymore. But you're going to have to also realize that it comes a little here, a little there. Line upon line, precept upon precept. I don't care how long you've been saved or how long you've been a Christian, you never get to a place where you know it all about any subject. About any subject in the Bible. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that knows it all. And we have that Spirit in a measure. And that measure is revealed to us. Everything that we receive from God has to come not only by faith, but it has to come through revelation. Now, what I'm teaching you tonight, there's a lot of people that are in churches that do not have a concept or an understanding of the blood of Jesus. So if we can do anything in this teaching is to develop us in that knowledge and in that understanding and have what the Bible calls faith in that blood. Now, here's what the Word says. Let me read verse 4, very familiar passage in here. It says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." Are you born of God? Okay. "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith," or even our faith. So it's our faith in God that overcomes the world. He goes on to say, "Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, when the Bible is talking about faith here, it's not talking about what religion you belong to or what denomination you belong to, whether you're a Catholic or Methodist or Baptist or whatever. You know, we're talking about the ability to believe God. In fact, the word faith is talking about our ability to believe, our confidence, our trust, our full assurance in what we have heard, and we're willing to stand on that for the rest of our lives. We have made what we call as Christians a quality decision. How many of you know what a quality decision is? It's a decision you make based upon the Word of God that you will not turn back from it. In other words, there is no going back. Now, as Christians, we learn real quick that in God, you cannot stand still very long. You're either going backwards or you're going forwards. You're either growing or you're shrinking. And the Bible warns us and talks about those who fall back. Talks about in the book of Hebrews that if we don't continue to feed ourselves on the Word of God, we will fall back. Man, and this scripture that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God has designed every, let me say it this way, God has designed every living creature to feed off of something. Every living thing has to feed off of something in order to sustain life. You have to eat in order to maintain and sustain life. And some of us probably eat more than we should. But every living thing has to feed off of something. Now, that includes the fact that you are spirit, soul, and body. Here's another thing that we need to teach sooner rather than later, because I really believe without the knowledge of spirit, soul, and body, it really becomes difficult for your spirit man to grow in that knowledge and wisdom and to attain that revelation that you can go further with God than you've been before. Amen. But every part that God created has to feed. Amen. Your spirit man that was born again has to feed off of something. Amen. You know what it feeds off of? It feeds off the Word of God. Amen. There's no way your spirit man can grow stronger without feeding itself off the Word of God. If you don't feed your spirit the right things, it'll become anemic, it'll become weak, just like your body. If you don't put the right kind of food, and you don't eat the right things, eventually this body is going to break down. Now you can confess all day, by His stripes I'm healed. But you don't take care of yourself and you don't eat properly, we're going to be burying you sooner rather than later. So, everything that God created that's living is designed to feed off of something. Now, He goes on and says, who is he, verse 5, who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Verse 6 says, this is he who came by water and blood. Now look at this. Jesus Christ. Because he's going to talk about the natural and he's going to talk about the spiritual. We have to be able to receive spiritual things from the spiritual side or the spirit of man or the part of you and I that are born again to receive the things of God. Well, he says, this is he who came by water and blood. Say blood. Because we're going to see that refers to both the natural and the spiritual. It says, not only by water, but by water and blood. In other words, Jesus began his ministry by when he was baptized in the river Jordan. So that is the beginning, and his ministry in the earth ended when he shed his blood. So when the Bible talks about the water, it's talking about the beginning. It's talking about the baptism that John gave to Jesus or performed with Jesus, came up out of that river, and the anointing of God descended upon him in that form of the dove, and the voice from heaven spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then Jesus went on to start his earthly ministry. If everybody understand that part. Okay. He said, and, the second part of that verse, it says, and it is the Spirit, big S there, Holy Spirit, who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now we know, and Jesus taught, that the Spirit and the Word must always agree. This is why you and I can't be deceived if we stay strong in the spirit man. Because our spirit man will always bear witness of the truth. And the truth cannot lie. The truth is the Word of God. He said, "Thy Word is truth." Okay, so we don't have to worry about getting in some cult or some, you know, they just had that anniversary and I saw that special with Jim Jones and drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, you really, really, really have to get deceived to get yourself in that kind of position, in that kind of place. And obviously it must be possible because we have examples of it. Well, he said, for these, he says, for their, verse 7, for there are three that bear witness. Now the word witness means that you have a testimony. Somebody that gives evidence to something. Testifies. Just like a witness in a trial. Okay, these things testify. You'll see that word witness and record and those kind of words in here interchange, but they all come from the same Greek word. It says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So those are the spiritual aspects that are bearing witness. It says, and these three are one. Verse 8 says, and there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is in the earth, is He not? Jesus has ascended. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, but He gave us the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, thank God. Okay, where is the Holy Spirit at? Well, He dwells inside of us. Amen. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, He says, and there are three that bear witness on earth. So now we're talking about in the earth realm. Okay? The Spirit, the water, and the blood. Notice the blood is mentioned again. Because we have the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And we have the end of the ministry of Jesus. The end is significant because it ended by Jesus shedding His blood on the cross at Calvary in reference to His death. He came from heaven. The Holy Spirit came on the inside of Him. He was a man, but He was still God. He was anointed by God, operated in the earth as anointed man of God. Not anointed God, but anointed man of God. The way you and I are to operate in the earth. Okay? It says, and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Now, we realize and we understand men sometimes mess things up. And especially mess things up when it comes to God and trying to figure out how to get to God. But God does not mess things up. Amen. Somebody said, well, you're confusing me. No, you were confused when you come in. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get you straightened out. Amen. So that you can see the reality of this thing. It says, for this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony, this is what we testify to, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Jesus is the one that has given us eternal life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's just as simple as that. There's no other God who can give life except Jesus Christ. Okay? These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Who is the name of the Son of God? Jesus. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, what? He hears us. If we ask anything according to His will. What is His will? The will is His Word, and once we know the will, then faith can begin. Are you with me? So, it says in verse 4 again, He said, this is the victory that has overcome the world. Victory here means, or here's literally what it means. It means a success to overcome the world. In other words, God has given you the means by which you can overcome the world. And that means, we're going to find out, is by faith, and by faith in the blood of Jesus. And when it talks about faith, now it's talking about our ability to believe God. One of the problems that a casual inquirer has, or somebody that's not, you know, living the life of a Christian fully, only maybe in name or in pretense, they don't believe the Word of God. You're not going to get past first base without believing the Word of God. It all comes back. We stand on the fact that Jesus came, and because of what He did on the cross, He's the one that shed His blood, and that we have faith in God and in Jesus Christ, we have the means to overcome the world. Whatever the world throws at us, we have the means to overcome. That's what the means of success really is for you and I. We have an advantage, see, that the world doesn't have. That's why we have a peace that passes all understanding. While everybody else is in crisis mode, we're in, thank you, Jesus, for a peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. So, let's look at some other foundations here. I was going to go to Romans here, but let's go over here to Hebrews chapter 6, because here's another very familiar scripture that we use in this church a lot. It says in Hebrews 11, excuse me, let's use Hebrews 11, 6. We'll come back some more to 1 John in just a minute. Well, not tonight, but later on. Look at verse 6. Everybody knows this. It says, but without faith, it is impossible. Now the word faith again is that word pistis in the Greek, and it is the ability to believe God, okay? It says it is impossible to please Him. How many of you want to please God? Amen. If we're going to please God, then we're going to have to live by faith. It says, for he who comes to God. Now if this word is not underlined in your Bible, underline. If you have a Bible you can't underline in, throw it away and get you another one that you can mark up. Because I want you to notice that. You make a choice of whether you're going to come to God. But if you come to God, there is no choice. You must believe. Did I say that right? You can make a choice of whether you want to serve God. You can make a choice of whether you want to enter in to the family of God. But if you make the choice to do so, then you must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That means a constant seeking of God. You cannot please God. The word please there means to gratify entirely. You cannot gratify God. God wants us to gratify Him. In order to gratify Him, we must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder. The word rewarder means that He will pay off things that are due of what has been promised. In other words, if God has promised in His Word then God will make it good. Amen. That's why he said, if we ask anything according to his will, we have confidence. We know that it will be done. Well, many, many religions today do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Many today do not believe that Jesus was the Son of God and that it is only by his blood in which one can be cleansed for salvation. Amen. And he's the only one, by the way, that stated he was. Amen. Muhammad's blood can't save you.
Amen.
Make sure I say that, yes. Going out all over the world here, because we got a lot of people,
amen,
that may be contemplating, why is there so many gods? There's only one God that can save. There's only one God that qualified to be the Savior of mankind. There's only one God whose blood was pure enough without sin that could be the perfect sacrifice to cleanse you and I from our sin. Now think about that just a moment. Because what we'll see in the book of Romans, and I don't think we'll have time to go to all these tonight, but I want you to see that his blood guarantees you and I a means of success to overcome the world.
Amen.
That's why there's power in that blood.
Yes,
there's deliverance in that blood.
Yes.
To the degree that you have faith in that blood is the degree by which your deliverance and the manifestation of that power will come in your life.
Amen.
And when you have that faith operating, let's go look at this just a moment. Let me just start, and then we'll have to pick up because there's a lot here. We have to have faith in Jesus. Say that with me. Faith in Jesus, faith in His Word, and faith in His blood. Okay? And Satan hates the subject of the blood of Jesus. You know why? Because Revelation 11, we'll look at that next time too, it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. When you start talking about the blood of Jesus, man, Satan gets very, very, yeah, praise God, because I'm here to make him angry. I'm here to rub it in his face because he knows that is what destroyed his, if you will, his celebration day. He thought he had man. He thought that they were doomed to an eternal death and damnation, but God had a plan. And his plan was that Jesus would go to that cross at Calvary and his blood would be shed.
Amen.
At that whipping post, remember? With that whip of the Roman soldier, the crown of thorns that went into his scalp and to his head, the blood was shed. And then when they pierced his side, the blood of Jesus ran down and into this earth. It was a special blood. It was not the blood of any ordinary man, but it was the blood of the Son of God. That's why we have to believe in the virgin birth. Because the nature of death, the nature of sin, is passed by the Father. You know, if you want to know who the baby is, they don't take the DNA of the mother. They take the DNA of the father. It's the father that passes down the blood line. Are you with me?
Amen.
Jesus could not come from an ordinary man because every man after Adam, that's what we'll read here in Romans 3. I'm just giving you a little preview of it. was born into the sin nature. Now, I know sometimes that's hard for the natural mind to understand. Everyone born after Adam was born into sin. You think of that little baby you're holding there in your hands, right? That baby, as much as we love him, you love him, was born in sin. You never have to teach a baby to be bad. You're always teaching them how to be good.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Praise the Lord.
Jesus made a way. Well, he had to come. God had to find somebody that would yield to his word. That's what it tells us over in Luke chapter 1, the very story we usually use around Christmas time, that he found Mary the virgin who received, now listen to this, received the message of the word that the angels brought her and told her that you are going to conceive a child. And she said, how can this thing be? And she wasn't questioning God. She was questioning, how can this happen? She said, I have not had any relationship with a man. He said, this child will be conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible says she believed the Word of God. And that Word was what impregnated her by the Spirit of God, and she conceived this child. And the angel said, you shall have a child. He shall be a male, and his name shall be Jesus, and he will save the people from their sin.
Amen.
But it had to be, see, someone whose blood would qualify. That's what it says here, and we'll have to close in Romans 3:25. Whom God set forth as a propitiation. The word propitiation means the victim that atones. Or in other words, to be a sacrifice or a payment. The literal rendering of it means the mercy seat. In other words, there had to be a sacrifice and a shedding of blood that qualified to erase or to atone man's sin. And Jesus, because he was not born of a man, he was born of a virgin through the Holy Spirit who came upon and overshadowed Mary. And therefore, Jesus did not have the nature of sin, but rather the nature of God. And so his blood qualified. Thank God for the blood. Say, thank God for that song. Thank God for the blood. Because without that blood being sprinkled on the mercy seat, and we have types of that in the Old Testament, but Jesus literally took his blood, oh, praise God, took it up to the heavenly tabernacle, to the heavenly mercy seat, and took all of that blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat of God so that every sin of yours and mine could be atoned for so that we could become in right standing with God. That's what righteousness means. He made us righteous. We were not righteous. He made us righteous. And we deserved the penalty of death, because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die, but Jesus shed his blood, and because his blood qualified and was pure, that's why there's power in the blood. There's cleansing in the blood. There's deliverance in the blood. The means of success for you and I to overcome in this life is by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So that's what we want to talk about, and that's what we want to establish in our thinking. I want you to stand up on your feet with me. You know, it's like this. You deserved the death penalty. You deserved to be punished and eternally judged. You know, we're going to live forever, aren't we? Thank God the blood of Jesus has already judged us. Now, think about that. Because I can't wait till I get this. Because the book of Hebrews tells us that those that don't have the concept, the revelation of the blood of Jesus, are always looking over their shoulders in fear. They're afraid to die. They're afraid of things. They're just always thinking that God is going to get them. But how many know God is not out to get people?
Amen.
A lot of people think God is their problem. But this is where you and I come in, right?
Right.
See, Satan would like nothing better than to have people think in this era we call everything has to be politically correct, right? Everything we say, we can't make a stand for God in public, because after all, you know, our Constitution doesn't allow that, and it's amazing that all these atheists and all these people, they want us to not say anything about God. Well, what's wrong with us saying about God and let them say whatever they want?
Amen.
They don't want us to talk about God. They want to say there is no God. Well, that's fine. Let them say there's no God, but don't get after us because we say there is.
Amen.
You see? So,